go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we'll explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church today by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as your parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Well, we want to welcome you if you're joining us for the first time, and we are coming to the end of a wonderful series that we believe is so critical to the rebuilding and renewal of the American Catholic Church. Today, we follow St. Paul as he departed from the island of Malta and he arrives in Rome.
Amen. Our series is the call to return to biblical Christianity, and we've been on an exciting journey into the Acts of the Apostles, where we are rediscovering the characteristic that made those early Christians such a powerful force, Leslie. We're pulling together the scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church, and we're being challenged on how we too can start to live as those early Christians did. Last week, we looked into St. Paul's powerful ministry during his three-month stay on the island of Malta.
Pretty amazing things happened there on Malta.
Yes, it did. It was only 3 months, but a lot was going on. The entire group off the ship, 267 of them, 276 survived a harrowing shipwreck as St. Paul guided them into making wise decisions in the midst of certain death and destruction. And we also discussed how he modeled seven traits that not only helped preserve he and his companions, but serve as an example for us Catholic believers facing the storms that we all encounter.
Peter, last week you also referred to Acts 28 as the Holy Spirit's grand finale, recorded through his servant, St. Luke. And as we finish our journey through Acts, you reminded us of three key ideas or themes that our listeners should pay attention to. And these themes, we can find them all throughout the book of Acts. Isn't that right?
That's right. And important, too, I think.
So I think it would be wise for us to just to take a moment to review those. And, of course, the first theme is the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. who empowered the early believers to expand the kingdom of God. And Jesus, as Acts 1:8 is launched, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And isn't the Holy Spirit referenced a lot of times in the book of Acts?
56, to be exact, Leslie.
Yes.
So, yes, talking about the Holy Spirit, Luke testified to the fact that it was the Holy Spirit who empowered the Christian community to live a transformed life and to go evangelize the world. The Holy Spirit performs many miracles through the apostles in order that their ministry might be validated. Having recorded these miracles, Luke has encouraged the Christians who faced opposition and persecution. In one simple way, Leslie, I've thought that we can honor the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives is when we wake up in the morning, as I do, the first thing when I open my eyes, I simply say, "Come, Holy Spirit."
And the church definitely needs the Holy Spirit upon us to empower us today.
Yes.
Okay, the second key theme is the apostles, and they were given the mission to proclaim Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. And of course, they were called to lead and serve that church.
Right, the apostles, for sure. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he commissioned these apostles to continue his ministry from Jerusalem to the very ends of the earth, right? He said, you will receive the power from the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Therefore, the whole role entrusted to these apostles was to become the witnesses of Christ throughout the world. As such, most of the apostles became effective witnesses, but they also went under and came under extreme torture, persecution, and martyrdom. Jesus trained those disciples and apostles, plus Paul, Leslie, and that ended up creating an oral tradition. And then the New Testament writings emerge that we're going to talk about today. And finally, there's created a deposit of faith, and that's the faith of the Acts of the Apostles, the apostolic faith.
Well, the last theme, this brings us to the last theme, which is the church, which is the body of Christ. That's us. And we are called to ensure that the gospel or the kerygma of the kingdom of God would continue to be spread throughout all history.
Right. And so there was a necessity for the apostles to establish Christian communities as entities. The church was to carry out the mission of the apostles, since they could not obviously reach the whole world that was in that great commission. Moreover, the church, as the body of Christ, was necessary to take that message to the future generations until the end of time. Apostolic succession, of course, ensures that that beautiful deposit of faith, Leslie, that we have in the Catholic Church, established by the apostles, remains with us until the end of time. The magisterium is that official teaching of the church. In fact, just as an aside, the best way to identify those teachings is by our beautiful catechism.
Well, this brings us to Acts 28, Peter.
Yep. And so I've called that the grand finale of the Acts of the Apostles. This is the chapter that gives us an ongoing account of those three themes that we just mentioned, operating among those first generation of believers, waiting for the torch to be passed from them to the next generation, even down to our day. So last week, Leslie, we talked about that shipwreck on Malta. Rather than a parenthesis with no real significance, it demonstrated those three major aspects that we're talking about. Whether you're in a small island of Malta or headed to the center of the known world, Rome, these three dynamics are at work in the Acts of the Apostles.
Well, Peter, I've really enjoyed what you've opened up to us about Malta, and I've taken some time to actually reflect on what happened there. And on Malta, we learned that what Satan intended for evil, God actually intended for good, and that God used imprisonment, a shipwreck, a snake bite, and illness for the salvation of many on that island.
Right.
And God still uses difficulties in our own lives to bring about his plan when we are surrendered to him. So Malta reminds me of that.
Yes, it sure does. And as we mentioned, both St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict visited Malta and spoke of St. Paul's visit to this island and how important it is to the history of the early church. And I love what Pope Benedict said, Leslie. He said this: Paul urged them to place their trust in God alone while the ship was tossed to and fro upon the waves. We too must place our trust in him alone. It is tempting to think of today's advanced technology can answer all our needs and save us from the perils and dangers that beset us. I think that's worth thinking about for a minute, that we rely too much on technology to answer all our questions, Leslie. But it's not so, said the Pope. At every moment of our lives, we depend entirely on God, in whom we live and move and have our being. Only he can protect us from harm, and only he can guide us through the storms of life, and only he can bring us to the safe haven, as he did for Paul and his companions adrift off the coast of Malta. Beautiful words by the Pope.
Yeah, that's a wonderful quote. Well, listeners, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we'll continue to discuss the last chapter in the Acts of the Apostles. We will look at the arrival of St. Paul in Rome, and this arrival is so significant, both to Paul's call and mission, as well as who we are today as Catholic Christians. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa,
what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
With all the things going on in the world right now, it's nice to have hope.
When I'm having a really tough day, it really helps me get through.
It's just like their program was just meant for you.
Catholic Radio Indy.
It's the only radio station I listen to.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. In this series, we've been exploring the call to return to biblical Christianity, and we've been learning why the early Christians were described as those who have turned the world upside down. And today, we're discussing Acts 28. Peter, what is the importance of this chapter, and how does it relate to our overall theme?
So I think, Leslie, today there's going to be so much to learn here outlined in the middle of Acts 28 concerning the Holy Spirit, apostolic ministry, and the primitive church, those three major themes found in the Acts of the Apostles. And today we really want to drive home this one thing, Leslie, in our discussions, that while St. Paul is traveling throughout the Acts of the Apostles, he's writing letters to these new churches, laying the foundation for the Catholic Church. And these writings are a large portion of our New Testament. That was going on all behind the scenes of what we've been talking about these last weeks. While Paul was held captive in his own rented quarters in Rome for 2 years, the Holy Spirit is anything but inactive in extending the kingdom of God. It was an amazing series of events that brought Paul to Rome, the great capital of the empire. In fact, one archaeological source I found, Leslie, suggests that the population of Rome when Paul arrived there was in excess of 4 million people.
That's a pretty big city.
That's right. So when Paul wrote to the saints in Rome from Corinth, Greece, that's where he wrote the book of Romans before he arrived, during his third missionary journey, he expressed an intense longing to visit these Christians. Listen what he said about going to Rome before he got there. He said, "For this reason, I've often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I've had for many years a longing to come to you, whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you, get this, Leslie, in passing," he says, "and to be helped on my way by you when I have first enjoyed your company for just a little while." Notice that. He thought he was just going to be there for a short time. Little did St. Paul realize how his goal would be fulfilled in the providential scheme of things.
One of the things, Peter, that you've pointed out to me that I think is amazing is how the Lord gave St. Paul favor to a wide variety of Roman officials. And almost without exception, those officials surrounding his journey to Rome and then in Rome, they all respected him, didn't they?
Yes, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, rather than housing him as a common criminal, the apostle was permitted to live in his own rented dwelling, though he was bound with a chain and in the company of a guard.
Right. He was on a chain with the guard.
Right.
In that rented quarters.
So, Peter, what happened during this two-year span? What's going on behind the scenes? Can you help us see what the Lord is doing?
Well, amazingly enough, during this two-year period of time, Leslie, Paul wrote four major epistles: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And by observing these letters, we can kind of learn what was going on with Paul in Rome during those years of tribulation that he was in those rented quarters. And what we want to do is analyze those prison epistles, and we can learn more about Paul's trials and the courage that he had during that two-year period of confinement. First of all, there were physical and emotional trials that he went through that he expressed in those four writings that I mentioned. While it was true that he was granted some liberties, as he said, people could come and go and visit him, he still nonetheless was a prisoner. And when he wrote his letters, he pointed out to the believers that he was indeed a prisoner. He says he referred to himself as a prisoner of Christ. He talked about the prisoner of the Lord. He called himself an ambassador in chains. and chains were commonly viewed as an object of shame during that period of time. Note the multiple times he talks about his bonds or his state as a prisoner. I know you've got something to say about his chains, right?
Well, yes, because interestingly enough, when we were on our pilgrimage to Rome, we actually got to see Paul's chains at the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls.
Right.
And in 324, we learned that Constantine had a basilica built above the grave of what was traditionally known to be the grave of St. Paul. And according to ancient tradition, they display his chains above his tomb, and they are displayed for public veneration. And they're a very important relic, Peter. And I wish I had a better grasp of scripture when we were visiting there to see how many times Paul mentions being in chains.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. But on the feast day of St. Paul, which is June 29th, each year the chains are taken on procession around the basilica. Mm-hmm. And that would be a wonderful sight to see.
Yeah, you know, we were there in June. If we would have waited another week, we could have seen that procession.
I know. We missed it.
Yeah. So it's obvious that the apostle's situation as a prisoner was a constant reminder of the sacrifices that sometimes are necessary in all our Christian lives. There's something else that was going on, secondly, that he lets those know through these epistles, Leslie. And he said that during that time, he was afflicted by people that resisted his ministry in Rome. Some of the members of the Roman church did not like the influence Paul had generated, and they were characterized by envy, St. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. There was a feeling of displeasure caused by the success that Paul brought to that ministry, and as a result, it said they stirred up strife towards him. Full of envy, this group went forth preaching Christ, Paul said, and he didn't have a problem with the content, but rather their motives brought St. Paul's rebuke. Incredibly, it says that they hoped to afflict Paul in his imprisonment.
Well, it also says in Philippians, however, that as Paul began his work in Rome, even in prison, his influence was huge. And in Philippians 1:13, it talks about his labor became known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. Peter, who were the Praetorian Guard, and why was this significant?
Right, so in Rome, the Praetorian Guard was a body of 10,000 soldiers, specifically in Rome. They had unusual privileges granted by the emperor. In fact, they got double pay, Leslie. And they were so powerful that even the emperors sought their favor.
Yeah, this was a pretty powerful group.
And Paul's testimony was spreading through the Praetorian Guard. Isn't that powerful?
That is. And the apostles' influence even went beyond this group, didn't it?
Yes.
It says that in Philippians 4:22, it says, "And all the rest of God's people send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household." So this indicates that he had a reputation throughout the entire city, but also he was known to, he had saints in Caesar's household.
And again, he wrote to the Philippians from his imprisonment, Leslie, and he said that his imprisonment was causing the advance of the gospel. And that Greek word for advance, you know, we like to bring forth the Greek meanings sometimes that are helpful in our interpretation. The word advance literally meant to go forward and to cut. And it originally was a word that was used for a pioneer cutting his way through brushwood. So Paul viewed his troubles during this time in the positive light. They were like the advance party, advancing the way for the success of the gospel. He even believes that in those difficulties that he said would work out the salvation of many.
I love that illustration, Peter, of cutting through the brush.
Yeah, he was a pioneer for sure.
Well, we're going to take another break now, and when we return, we will discuss how St. Paul wrote letters throughout his journey that became the building materials for the church throughout the ages.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a voice for the church that's seldom heard in our chaotic world. We're confirmation for the strong of faith and encouragement and answers for those in doubt. We're there to rejoice with your triumphs and to be a voice of consolation through the dark times. We're a voice for vocations and proudly pro-life. We are Catholic Radio Indy, and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we're continuing our series, The Call to Rebuild the Church here in America through the restoration of biblical Christianity. And our focus today is on St. Paul. In our last segment, we discussed how we can get new insights into the apostolic mindset of St. Paul by studying the prison epistles. St. Paul described his calling from Jesus Christ as a skilled master builder. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, he says, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it." So, Peter, if we are to rebuild according to St. Paul's spiritual architecture, what do we need to do?
Yes, Leslie, this touches on the theme of our program, the whole call to rebuild that St. Francis received at San Damiano. And I like what Dr. Scott Hahn mentioned about Paul and laying the foundation. Dr. Hahn is someone, a teacher and a theologian that, Leslie, both you and I highly respect and we reference often. And he talks about St. Paul this way. He said, "Paul laid the foundation of the church in numerous cities by evangelization, leaving it to subsequent leaders to build up the congregations in faith and in love." He went on to say, for him, that is St. Paul, the only stable foundation to build upon is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen to what he says about Paul. Paul viewed himself as a spiritual Solomon who oversees the building of another temple, that is the church, and proclaims the greater wisdom of the gospel, both to Jews and Gentiles. So I think that makes Paul pretty important to the deposit of the faith, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Peter, during these years, throughout the Acts of the Apostles, chapters 13 through 28, St. Paul is writing letters to these new churches, and he is forming the spiritual materials to build the Catholic Church. Peter, could you help us understand better what those key building materials are?
Yeah, I think that there's many, Leslie, but let's mention seven that come out of these writings that Paul was making behind the scenes as we followed him in his missionary journeys in the Acts of the Apostles. First of all, St. Paul lays out in seed form just exactly who Jesus is, his person, his nature, and the role of Christ. Now, early on, they weren't really sure just the fullness of what it meant for him to be the God-man.
Right. They were still struggling a little bit with who he was.
Yes, and St. Paul sows the seeds of Orthodox Christology in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 for 11. In fact, that is possibly a Christian hymn that articulated the mystery of his incarnation, his humiliation, and his exaltation. So who Jesus is first given to us by St. Paul. Secondly, there is ecclesiology. That's the theological word that speaks about the nature and the structure of the church. Paul wrote to the Ephesians from that Roman jail, Leslie, or from that Roman imprisonment, and that's all about what the church is, what he told the Ephesians. But also in 1 Corinthians, that was written from Ephesus early when he was at Ephesus, St. Paul describes the church as a body. We are the body of Christ. And he talked about us being hands, feet, eyes, and ears.
I love those scriptures. Those are a beautiful illustration.
Yes. And it's well worth to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, where Paul lays out his ecclesiology. Thirdly, St. Paul tells us and reminds us of what we call the theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, in that beautiful letter to the Corinthians, where he says the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us what agape love really looks like, doesn't
it? Where would we be without 1 Corinthians 13?
Yes.
We would be going in the wrong direction,
yeah,
so many
weddings we've been to have used that as the husband and the wife set that as their guidepost for their marriage. Fourthly, St. Paul teaches us about salvation that comes by grace. And that is really the entire epistle to the Romans. Paul lays out salvation history as he writes to the Romans before he arrived there in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And it lays out for us that all of us are under the bondage of sin, and through Jesus Christ, we come into redemption. It was written again from Corinth in 58 AD, just before he went to that time in Jerusalem. Fifthly, Paul focuses on the sacrament of baptism and the sacraments of initiation. Baptism is what happens to us in the sacrament. He talks about that in Romans 6. And then he talks about the Eucharist in a powerful way that I think we all need to renew ourselves in 1 Corinthians 11. And he talks about receiving the Eucharist in a worthy manner. Interestingly enough, Leslie, he says, if we don't, some are weak, some are sick, and even have died prematurely. Sixthly, St. Paul gives us in his letters moral theology, or our morality. One of the first letters that he wrote was 1 Thessalonians, and there he's addressing pagans who came into Christianity. He's reminding them that their bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. They should only have one wife and should walk not in immorality, but morality. And then finally, Leslie, eschatology, again in 1 Thessalonians, Paul lays the seeds for us understanding the end times and what will happen when Jesus returns to the earth. Powerful stuff.
I know. Well, Peter, thank you for walking us through the letters that he was writing to the churches and how these ended up becoming our sacred scriptures and laying the foundation for our Catholic faith. And I'm really excited for us to have this as we renew these wonderful truths by reading, studying, memorizing, and living these building blocks in our personal, family, and parish lives. So, Peter, would you pray for us in that regard?
Yes, I will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, today, as we come to our next to the last broadcast concerning the Acts of the Apostles and the return to biblical Christianity, we ask, O Lord, that you would give us hearts to take upon ourselves these things that these early apostles put into the church that we call the deposit of faith. We pray that you would give us a boldness to renew these virtues, to renew these ways of living, and that you would cause us to impart them to our personal lives, our families, and parishes in the days to come. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And if you'd like to hear our past programs, go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, where you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the book page. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.